T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dr. Steve Turkovich from Ochai Children's Hospital and I, Gail Burstein, the Erie County Health Commissioner, just want to let everybody know about the severe respiratory illnesses circulating in the community that are really affecting the health of young children in our community. The virus that we're primarily concerned about today is RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. You know, it's a very, very common virus in the community. By the time a child turns 2, almost every child has been exposed and been infected to RSV. Most of the time, it can cause some just mild respiratory illnesses, like a bad cold. So the child may have fever, nasal congestion, you know, some cough, you know, fussiness, not eating or drinking well. But we're seeing this year in a significant number of children is they're developing more significant complications of RSV. So parents really need to be aware of what that looks like in young children, because in young children that are affected by RSV, and that's many times it's children under the age of 2, but we're seeing severe disease in even children older than that, in toddlers and pre-K kids, is with respiratory distress. So signs of respiratory distress or a young child is, you know, they don't look comfortable. They might have nasal flaring, so their nostrils are flaring up because they're trying to suck in some oxygen. They're pulling at their chest to breathe, so the skin and their ribs are pulling in, and you might see their head bopping, you know, really making a big effort to breathe. And, you know, they're in trouble when you hear them systematically grunting to try to take a breath with each breath. And then also they may look blue, have severe coughing, very irritable, or might be unusually fatigued and not eating well. So with those severe symptoms, we recommend that people take their children to seek care. So with a mild infection, you know, it's always good to check in with your pediatrician, just get some advice around the most effective and strategic management of your kids to not only help them stay well with their illness, but also prevent the spread of disease in your family, in your household, and in the daycare center or in the schools. And with the signs of more severe illness, I mean, that's really when you need to bring your child in to the physician's office, or even if they look like they're really working hard to breathe and you hear that grunting, that's when you would consider taking your child to the emergency department or to a pediatric urgent care center. So the ways that we want to prevent RSV is just like ways that we prevent other respiratory infections. So, if people are sick, you want to make sure that they cough or sneeze, you know, into their arm, not into their hands. These viruses are very durable on surfaces like countertops or tabletops or utensils or doorknobs. So you want to make sure that you want to wash all those surfaces down. In daycare, they really make sure that they have to wash those surfaces down and wash off the toys, because kids are touching the toys. If somebody looks sick, then they are sick, so you want to stay away from them. And then again, if you're sick, you don't want to infect the people around you, so just stay away. Just stay in bed. You know, take care of yourself. Drink plenty of fluid. And you know, again, with any concerns, call your healthcare provider. So, Dr. Turkovich, you want to let us know what you're seeing at Children's Hospital?
Sure. So, you know, as we've mentioned before, we have seen more RSV this season than we saw all of last respiratory season. So the burden of disease for RSV is significant. As Dr. Burstein said, we've seen a significant number of kids that are admitted to the hospital. The most common reasons for being admitted to the hospital are respiratory distress, meaning that they have difficulty breathing and need varying levels of oxygen therapy. Also dehydration. Especially the youngest babies, it's very difficult for them to breastfeed and or suck down on a bottle when their nose is congested and they're trying to breathe. So many times they can become dehydrated fairly quickly, and they need some IV fluids then to help them with their hydration. We're also starting to see significant flu. The flu has been increasing. We've had over 500 cases of flu that have tested positive in our emergency room since the beginning of the flu season. Last year at this time, we were at about 160. So you can see that the burden of both flu and RSV in the community is significantly higher this year than compared to last year at this time. The hospital continues to be at or above capacity. Our ICU has expanded again. We went into overflow back on December 10th. And a few days earlier this week, we expanded that even further, and I think we had a record number in our ICU up to 28 the other day. As Dr. Burstein said, most of these children are younger, less than two, although we are seeing some a little bit older. We know that children that are young, that have a history of prematurity, those that have underlying chronic medical conditions, especially chronic lung disease, things like asthma or other chronic lung disease, and other children with neuromuscular disease are at the highest risk of complications from respiratory disorders and diseases like RSV and the flu. So if your child has any of those, please continue to keep an eye on them. And as Dr. Burstein said, please keep an eye on their respiratory symptoms. It is really important that if you're starting to notice that your child is having difficulty breathing, that you get them medical care immediately, because they can decompensate and get sick very quickly.
Have you had deaths from this?
Unfortunately, there we know that there has been a pediatric flu-related death this year, and there are RSV deaths in the community. So unfortunately, this is something that we see.
And any like long-term complications that a child might have from having it?
So children who do have underlying lung disease, especially babies that are born premature with something called BPD, bronchopulmonary dysplasia, and when they get RSV, can have an increased risk of having asthma later on in life. So we know that when your lungs have not fully developed to begin with and they have an insult, like an insult from RSV, that can cause some further problems down the road.
Are cases you're seeing, are we trending up, are we trending down? Where are we since the last time we've seen this lobby?
So I think the number of respiratory cases continue to increase. We are starting to see a bit of a shift from RSV to the flu, but still the most significant burden that we're seeing is RSV. So earlier this season, we were about 80 to 90% of respiratory disorders being due to RSV, and about 10% or less due to flu. We're now starting to see that shift, and 10 to 20% are due to the flu and the remainder RSV.
We know in Erie County, looking at our trends with influenza, we still continue to increase every week. And also that's true throughout New York State and the rest of the United States. And again, in New York State, we've seen a significant number of flu-related deaths in the pediatric population. And also CDC reports across the United States, we've seen pediatric flu-related deaths. So we're still going up. We haven't hit our peak yet. We don't know when we're going to hit our peak. So that's why it's really important for people who haven't already been immunized, especially parents that have children that haven't already been immunized against influenza, to get them immunized as soon as possible. It's not too late. We have not hit our peak yet of influenza cases. We're going to see more in the community, and we know that it's causing severe illness, and we have to do whatever we can to protect ourselves. With RSV, there's no immunization, and there's really no medical treatment. With influenza, we're fortunate there is a vaccine that can prevent infection, and also if people who are immunized that do get infected with influenza, usually their course is less severe compared to people who are not immunized. Also, there are antivirals available to treat influenza. Most common in children is called Tamiflu. That medication is started within the first couple days of illness, it can shorten the course by a day or two, and also decrease the symptoms. It's not curative, however, it will make the course of the illness less severe. The side effects of Tamiflu are very benign, maybe sometimes a little bit of GI illness. However, you're going to see a lot of GI illness with influenza. So it's a very, very safe medication, and really can help prevent some severe complications of influenza.
Season started abnormally early this year, if I'm not mistaken. Does that make you concerned that it's going to last longer as well?
So, you know, every respiratory season is different and unique. There's usually different viruses that are predominant. It starts and ends at different times throughout the year, and there's not really a correlation between the time that it starts and how long or how severe it's going to be. A lot of it has to do with the strain that's circulating and how severe it is. We did have our first RSV case in September, which is unusual because oftentimes we won't start to see it until November. However, the total number of cases in September and October were still pretty small, and we started to see a significant uptick in November. So it's really not, we're not sure how long this is going to last. We have been in contact with colleagues in other children's hospitals across the country, as well as other ones within New York State. And we do know that many of them are continuing to see significant surges in their, both their emergency rooms, as well as the inpatient admissions and ICUs in patients with RSV and the flu.
And on that, Dr. Turkovich, when you're talking to other hospitals, have they advised you at all on anything that they've tried that has been helpful with the community as far as addressing some of these increased cases?
You know, I think the more awareness we can get out about what we can do to prevent and what we can do to keep children safe is really important. As we talked about, hand washing is really, really important all the time, frequently teaching your children to wash their hands well, encouraging kids to do that while they're in school. Disinfecting surfaces is also very important. The flu and RSV in particular can last on surfaces for a long time. Get the flu shot. You know, there's different strains in the flu shot. Some of them are more effective and more matched to what we're seeing than other ones, but it certainly will help and help prevent both from getting the disease and decreasing the severity of it. But also really important that if you have a young child, a baby or a child with any sort of chronic illness, please keep them home. Do not bring your babies out to areas where there's a lot of public restaurants, churches, and things like that. This is that's an opportunity for them to become exposed to these illnesses. So if you have a young child, please keep them home. Keep them warm. It's wintertime. You know, this is not a good idea to start go out and visiting public areas.
And you here have stepped up the visitation changes here.
So we've made some changes to our visitation. Obviously, when we talk about our visitor policy, we exclude parents because parents are part of the healthcare team. So the policy applies to those that are friends and or other family members. But some of the things that we've implemented are children less than five, we'd ask that they do not come and visit for a couple different reasons. Children less than five have more difficulty in controlling their sneezing and coughing, as well as they may not be as compliant with washing their hands. But also we want to protect them because of the burden of virus that's around the hospital. We don't want them to be getting sick. For children less than 14, we also ask that they don't come and visit unless they're accompanied by an adult. And most importantly, if you are ill, please do not come and visit. Fortunately now we've got technology, there's FaceTime and Skype and other sorts of things, so you can certainly use that to help visit with your child or friend or family member who's in the hospital. But if you're experiencing symptoms of cold, runny nose, sore throat, fever, GI symptoms like vomiting or diarrhea, or if you've been exposed to somebody recently with those symptoms, please don't come and visit. We obviously want to protect the children that are here.
Have you noticed any shifts since you put these visitation regulations in? Has that helped at all?
In terms of the burden of illness, I think it's too early to tell because we just implemented that. But our number one goal is to protect the community and protect the patients in the hospital.
You mentioned the high capacity and what's happening here. How is your staff handling it? How are you handling staffing issues?
So, you know, as I said, multiple children's hospitals across the nation have been faced with significant, really unprecedented and historic surges of patients with respiratory disease. We've been working with our staff very closely to make sure that they're staying healthy and they're not getting burned out because of the significant volume. So working through things like making sure we get enough staff through overtime, asking for travelers to come in from across the country. But again, the pool of travelers across the country is being stretched too because multiple hospitals are seeing this, and other sort of things to stretch the staff as much as we can, but obviously safely, because we want to make sure that they stay healthy and they're not burned out so that they're always available to care for the patients in our community.
This is not anything that's at epidemic levels, even nationwide with the flu. I mean, there hasn't been any declaration of that at this point.
Well, it's always flu epidemic or outbreak in during respiratory season, and so we are seeing high numbers. And it's not to the level where, you know, people should be afraid to go outside. However, people should take extra precautions, especially people who are vulnerable to becoming very ill with any type of respiratory infection, as Dr. Turkovich said, you know, very young children, children with other chronic problems. And that's true for adults. So just people have to be aware of what the risks and benefits are going outside and being exposed to these respiratory viruses, because they are so prevalent in the community. So just try to be smart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.